From the shadows of the radio towers, this is the Gay PHX Podcast. Your community radio on demand.
It's gonna be a good day. And everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
All right, Phoenix, it's Billy, and I'm really glad that you're here. If you're new, Gay PHX is community-built media for Phoenix and beyond, highlighting events, artists, conversations, and the people shaping our LGBTQ plus world. This podcast is where we go deeper. The stream runs 24/7 with music, interviews, and voices from our community. And if you're listening, you belong here. Quick personal update. I'm officially out of the hospital, hydrated, medicated, grateful, and very ready to be back in the mix. Yes, I'm resting. Yes, I'm listening to the doctor. And yes, if I've been a little bit quieter on social, that just means I'm only showing up when I can actually show up. Thank you for all the love while I was down. It really meant a lot. Now, we've had some heavy headlines lately. Recently, another member of our local LGBTQ plus community was found deceased after being reported missing. It's a reminder that looking out for each other isn't optional. Check in. Share your location. Text when you get home. That's not fear, that's care. And that brings us to today's conversation. We're sitting down with Jonathan from SEI Guidance for a grounded, thoughtful discussion about preparedness and what it looks like for LGBTQ plus folk to build skills that protect ourselves and each other. It's not panic, it's not politics, it's capacity. It's smart, it's measured, and it's about making sure our community has access to the information without gatekeeping. All right, enough of me setting the table. Let's see what's happening around town. Brian, what have you got for us this week?
You're listening to Gay PHX, where community comes first.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Brian's Hot 3. Nightlife isn't just entertainment, it's evidence. Evidence that Phoenix gathers, that queer people convene, that even when one of us temporarily wanders into another desert, the party does not pause. It's your Desert Den Daddy Brian coming to you this week from Palm Springs, where I'm wrapping up International Bear Convergence. And listen, with thousands of confident, well-groomed, occasionally shirt-optional men gather in one place with pool parties, late-night DJs, and absolutely no early bedtimes. Let's just say the schedule says events, but the story says field research. Hair, slightly undone. Voice, mildly texture. Step count, impressive. Details, classified, but deeply educational. But don't think for a second I'm not watching Phoenix. I've got one eye on the Coachella Valley and one eye on desert skies back home, tracking bingo balls, pool breaks, and chrome. Entrances like a responsible nightlife correspondent with excellent stamina. I'm here, your events are there, as well as photos you want to see on Gay PHX. And I'll be back in Phoenix next week, boots on the ground, mic in hand, and fully recovered. This week reads like a spectrum, greenery and giggle, competitive tensions with cues in hand, and a Saturday night where the chrome shines as bright as the intention. If you like your nightlife layered, intentional, and just scandalous enough to require hydration, you're exactly where you belong. Let's begin. Hot pick number one, Botanical Bingo, every Tuesday, March 3rd, 8 p.m. at the Boycott Bar. Every Tuesday, Boycott Bar is giving bingo a glow-up, and yes, it's leafy. Botanical Bingo kicks off at 8 p.m. and most of the prizes are actually houseplants. Real, thriving, oxygen-producing proof that you can commit to something long-term if it only needs watering once a week. It's bingo with chlorophyll. It's competition with roots. The only Tuesday night where yelling bingo could earn you something that improves your air quality and your dating profile background. Come for the drinks, stay for the greenery, leave with something you promise not to overwater again. Hot pick number two, pool tournament, every Wednesday and Friday, 8 p.m. at the Oz Bar. Starting Wednesday, March 4th, let's talk about cues and precision and controlled pressure. Oz Bar's pool tournament runs every Wednesday and Friday at 8 p.m. It's a $5 buy-in with a match and $2 off wells and domestics for players because competitive focus pairs beautifully with responsive hydration. Play for the crown, be the champion, line up the shot, keep your composure. There's something undeniably attractive about someone who knows how to handle a cue under pressure, I'm just saying. Whether you're in for it for the title or the eye contact across the felt, this one's got energy. Hot pick number three, Chrome, Saturday, March 7th, 9 to 2 a.m. Pat O's Bunkhouse, and Now We Shine. The lights drop low, the chrome starts to reflect. Leather, latex, lust. Welcome to Chrome, where the night shines dark and the confidence is fully intentional. DJs Emerson, Hi Sir, and Surprise DJ keep the soundtrack pounding while Live Kink and BDSM demos bring the energy into the focused territory. This isn't accidental nightlife, this is curated tension. Bartenders will be keeping your courage and your hydration exactly where they need to be, because whether you're bold, curious, seasoned, or just a chrome adjacent, you're welcome in the room. $10 cover, 21 plus only, worth every polished second. Phoenix, that's your hot three, from leafy Tuesdays to competitive midweeks to a Saturday that gleams with purpose. Beauty doesn't disappear just because I cross state lines for a minute. Even from Palm Springs, wrapping up IBC and pretending I slept, I've been watching, reporting, observing, doing the hard work for journalism. And yes, before you ask, the unmentionable photos are already up on GayPHX, captured in your unedited glory. No filters, no apologies, just proof that community looks very good in real life. Next week, I'll be back in Phoenix, boots planted, mic ready, slightly rehydrated, and definitely minding my business, mostly. Thank you for listening, thank you for sharing, and thank you for being the reason the desert keeps pulsing after dark. Till next time, coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, I'm Brian, your desert den daddy, and that's what's hot.
Want all the details? Head over to GabePHX.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the valley.
This is what community sounds like.
This is Amanda Renfrew, enrolled agent with The Tax Person, with your tax year countdown. If the market dipped this year, selling losing investments before December 31st can offset gains and reduce your tax bill. Just avoid the wash sale rule. Don't buy the same stock again within 30 days. Get support with a free 15-minute consult at thetaxperson.com or look for me as The Tax Person on socials.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the GayPHX podcast.
Today on GayPHX, you're hearing a conversation that sits at the intersection of preparedness, empowerment, and queer survival. It's not about panic. It's about readiness. It's about knowing what to do when seconds matter, how our communities can care for each other when help isn't immediately there. We're talking firearms education, trauma first aid, and why LGBTQ plus people, especially transgendered and non-binary folks, deserve access to life-saving skills without judgment, fear, or gatekeeping. This is a conversation about becoming our own first responders. Please welcome to the rainbow-tinted microphone, Jonathan Elliott.
Thank you.
Howdy, Jonathan. Everyone deserves a studio audience, so I love to bring it to the community. Now, for those in the community who may not know you yet, can you introduce yourself and share a bit about your background and what you do?
Sure. I'm Jonathan Elliott, as introduced. I am former USMC. I am a USCCA instructor. I'm an NRA instructor, a former Red Cross instructor. All that really means is a really fancy way of saying that I've sat through a lot of classes with a lot of good and bad people. And now I'm trying to take these skills and present them to our community in a much safer and more inclusive space than they might find elsewhere. I've been queer for pretty much my whole life and went through the shame, denial, all of that way back in my 20s, 30s, and up until I was 40, and then finally accepted it, came out, and now I'm really a huge proponent and promoter of the community and trying to be one's authentic self. So that's who I am, I guess, in a quick nutshell.
You said a lot of letters there, and I don't know what a lot of them mean, but how did that journey lead you to firearms and trauma first aid education?
I'll tell you. So I've been shooting probably since my 20s, and having experienced firearms way back in the Marine Corps, always got into them, got into handguns after I got out of the Marine Corps. And I base a lot of the teachings in my class off of my really bad behavior as a new gun owner back in the day. And it's very humbling to admit that, but it also makes for great education because I know that there are a lot of other people out there who know nothing about guns. And they're like, yeah, I can be Superman with my gun. I'm like, no, let me tell you from experience, you cannot. And really all those letters, like you said, it's its own sort of right-wing alphabet soup, if you will. The only important one is the NRA, especially in Arizona, because while they are certainly no friends to the queer community, they're the only ones who have in any way, shape, or form semi-advocated for gun rights for queer folks, being as they do advocate gun rights for everyone. And Arizona loves the NRA, and that's what allows me to basically be able to offer concealed carry certification to people, is by maintaining that my certification and good standing with the NRA. So that's what all that means.
So now, you originally started by training LGBTQ organizations around active shooter preparedness, right?
Yeah, I first got into this. AVERT training is the active violence immediate response training. And after taking that class, what that is geared towards is preparing people and organizations for active shooter situations. So what would you do in this kind of situation? It goes with the run, hide, fight sort of mentality. If you're in a building and this starts happening, you have those three choices, right? You can try and escape, you can hide, or if you absolutely have to, then you confront. And when I became certified to train that, I wanted to reach out to LGBTQ community or organizations, I guess you could say, places like 1 in 10 and Pride Organization and all of them. And then I thought, why? Something that I've always struggled with is when asking around in the Phoenix area, hey, where are the queer-friendly gun stores? Where are the queer-friendly firearms trainers and things like that? Someone would say, like, this place, and oh, I know a person who teaches. I'm like, that's okay. That's great if I'm talking to you. But let's say you're ran a person who doesn't know people, wants to get into this, where do they go to find that? And there was no good answer. And so I thought, someone's got to do it, so maybe it should be me. And knowing absolutely nothing about how to do this, I embarked on that adventure. And that's what led me to start getting those certifications and to start taking those classes from people so that I could further that and then create that safe space. And ultimately, it's not about us. It's not about SICE guidance. We've created this space in hopes that, yes, it will be recognizable, and yes, it will be somewhere that people can go to and have it be well known, but even more so that it creates awareness that there is a need within our community for these types of spaces. And so even if it's not just me, if other people come out and say, hey, I'm also a safe space, I'd love it if more organizations like ours popped up, because it has quite frankly been very overwhelming for the last few weeks. Once the Pride organization shared our flyer and announced us, every class that we had was immediately filled up, and every class I added after that immediately filled up. And just the support has been overwhelming, and the interest has been overwhelming, but it's also been quite a stressful month.
Again, it shows that the need is there, though.
Yes, absolutely. And I love it. If you listen to the news and you listen to both sides of things these days, our community, especially the transgender community, gets spun into this violent, extremist group of people who, if they are learning guns, it's merely for bad purposes. And that is just not the case. And when you look at the statistics of mass shooting incidents and things like that, it's 0.1%, 0.1 to 0.2% of all mass shooters have been transgender. And considering that we are 1% of the population, we're 10 times less likely to be involved in that. And that's being generous on the plus side of things. When you delve in further, you find that some of those cases were indeed exaggerated, and that it's not truly a representation of the violent transgender agenda.
Yeah, it's such an overwhelming thing to try and fight against when I hear some of the stupid things. And I'm like, that's not real. That's not a fact. And yeah, that's a whole different...
It is. That's a whole different thing. We're here to talk about the good side.
Right.
So what we do is we provide defensive and responsible training when it comes to firearms. I've had people come into my class saying, I want to get my concealed carry certification. And by the time they're done with the class, they say, you've given me a lot to think about. I'm not sure I'm ready for that. And that makes me feel like it's been a success, because we don't want people out there carrying guns who shouldn't be and are doing it for the wrong reasons and who aren't 100% certain that if they get into a situation, you know, how they need to use that firearm.
Yeah, there's a lot of people I don't trust with a car, much less a gun.
Yeah, you and me both.
You see road rage, right? You've seen our streets. Now, a lot of people carry fear or discomfort around firearms. How do you approach education without intimidation or pressure?
So again, I try and present this material in as friendly a way as possible. And the first 2 hours of my class are all about understanding the mechanics of firearms, understanding how they work, what to do to use them, and that sort of thing. So we go in at a very low level, and it's geared towards people who have never touched a firearm and do have a lot of apprehension. And by presenting this environment that is very inclusive and safe, it does make the space a little more friendly for those people who do have that apprehension. And I have had students in my class who've come up to me and they said, this was a lot for me. I do have a fear about this. I'm not looking to get my permit, and I'm certainly not going to participate in the range portion of the class. Like, I don't want to go shoot right now because I'm already sitting at a 10. with stress level, but they said the way you talk about it, and you have a very sort of comforting demeanor. You're very happy. Your smile is infectious. You just create a good space to sit in and learn. And that is my goal. And I think also by talking about things like legal use of force, here's when you want to do it, here's when you don't want to do it. Guns aren't a thing that you're going to use to go out and be a superhero. They're a tool that you use to keep yourself and your community safe. And by learning about them and by getting to really get hands-on with those basics. And there is a portion of the class where we do have live firearms, not live ammunition, but live firearms. And we do functionality, and people get to touch and hold and feel and learn about all the differences and what they can do and can't do. And so I think that when we present it in that way, it tends to help soothe a lot of those nervous reactions and fear reactions.
So
yeah.
Is it worth someone taking the training, even if they have no intent on owning a firearm, to know, in case they're put into a situation, what to do and there is a firearm?
100%. And I say flat out, look, I'm not going to say that every person should own a firearm, because not every person should own a firearm.
Oh, no. I'm one of those people. Yeah.
And there are a multitude of reasons why not everyone should own a firearm. And I won't get into those. But if you're going to, keep it locked up until you even know how to use it. So if you have one and your intent is to learn how to defensively, safely, responsibly use a firearm, that's great. And I teach all about why it's important to keep your gun secure, how to keep your gun secure, all of that. But you get it, you buy it, especially while we're still able, before they put too many restrictions in place and some people can no longer get firearms. But don't expect it to be something that you go to in an emergency if you don't know how to use it. So you can own it, you keep it safe, even from yourself. And then you say, on this day, I'm going to go to the range. You take it out, you go to the range, you practice. You come back home, you lock it up. And the next time you're going to go out, and you do this until you build up those skills and you build up that confidence that all of a sudden, one day, you're like, you know what? I know what I'm doing. And it just happens. It's a journey.
I can understand.
Yes, to answer your question, it is absolutely the knowledge that I present in classes is useful for people, whether or not you want to own a firearm. And I include, it's a 6-hour in-classroom class and then 2 hours on the range. Not a lot of shooting. The 2 hours is really to cycle everyone through. But 6 hours is far more than a lot of the concealed carry classes that you're going to get out there. Most of them are 2 to 4 hours and
what?
Don't include nearly as much of it. Yeah.
My driver's school is longer than that.
Yeah. And apparently I've never experienced this, but I have heard from people in these gun classes that you can go to certain gun shows and they will have, okay, at 10 o'clock, we're going to have a little class, and 15 minutes, 20 minutes later, you say, okay, here's your certificate. You are now able to go and get a concealed carry permit because they are NRA instructors. And Arizona has this weird loophole built into the statute that you either have to take all of these different kinds of trainings with all of this huge curriculum, or you take a class from an NRA instructor and you can get your certification.
What?
That's scary. That's scary, right?
I hate when standards aren't really standards. And I hate when I discover that standards aren't really standards in certain industries.
Yeah.
Oh, so okay.
I'm doing my best to ensure that our community is as responsible as they possibly can be.
And gets the proper education.
Yes. Yes.
Not some like fake online degree kind of thing that you can just drive by night get.
Right. Yeah. I'm ordained. I spent the 5 minutes and $50 to whatever, get my ordination certificate, and hey, it's like a pastor, right?
Right. I'm looking at it from my point of view because that's where my head is. I'm not interested in guns. I'm not a fan of guns, but I understand that they're a part of our world. And obviously, whether I like them, they're there. As a matter of fact, they're just down the street from me. I know because when the house burned down, the ammunition went off. And that was terrifying.
Oh, I'll bet it was.
Long story short, the house is no longer there. It's just a slab because the firemen could not go in safely to put the fire out. So make sure your bullets are also securely put where they're supposed to. Just
absolutely.
Piece of PSA out there.
Yep.
However, I am also not. I grew up a Boy Scout, so I believe in being prepared for situations. And now, in this day and age, there's certain things we have to be prepared for, whether I like it or not. Mm-hmm. That's why I am asking these questions about interest and being trained, because I don't want to be caught in a situation. There is a gun and there's an opportunity for me to get it and be responsible. Or do I just be terrified and look at it and go, oh my God, and have someone else take care of it? So that's where I'm coming at from my point of view of, okay, so what can I do to become educated but still not an owner? Is there something like rent a gun for when you go to the range to try and make sure you're ready to handle one?
Absolutely, there is. A lot of the indoor ranges, I would recommend Shooter's World as an indoor range. They do rent firearms. They have overall been a lot more accepting of queer folk than C2 Tactical. Now, there are certain C2 Tactical locations that also, I've been told, are somewhat queer friendly, but Shooter's World has a longstanding agreement with Pink Pistols, which is a national shooters organization for queer folk.
But I did not know that.
they have a longstanding agreement, and so they've been wonderful to us. So you can go there. You can rent firearms. Now, as a side note, you can't go in by yourself, pick up some range time, and rent firearms. And this is a safety thing. They don't want someone who may be suicidal going in and renting their firearm to do something terrible.
Okay.
So
things you don't think of.
Going into things you don't think of. And so it's good to go with someone if that's your thing. And I teach that. I say, look, the best way to decide what kind of firearm you want is to try them out. And don't go off of someone's recommendation. Oh, this is the best gun. Because that is not true for everyone. Everyone is different. So the only way to be sure is to try them all out. And that is a great way to do it.
I'm a firm believer of hands-on participation. Mm-hmm. That's why, as much as I regret the idea of it, I'm pushing myself to go really, but you need to be ready and you have to know, and it's preparedness. It's being prepared. Now, what are some of the biggest myths or misunderstanding that LGBTQ plus folk might have when it comes to personal safety training like this?
Oh, wow. There are a lot of bad myths out. Now, there are more myths, I think, when it comes to the first aid portion of it. I've talked a lot about the firearms portion of it. I haven't talked as much about the first aid part, but we'll get there. When it comes to firearms, though, I think it is that if you listen to someone say, hey, this is the best firearm, buy it, that that is what you should do. And that is absolutely not what you should do. Everything you need to do, you need to go and you need to get hands-on, just like we talked about. You need to feel, you need to touch, you need to work the firearm itself. And that is the only way you're going to know what is going to be best for you. But the other myth is, and I'm glad you said that, because a few minutes ago, he says this useful education for someone. It absolutely is. This is just a stepping stone. This is the first part of the path on your journey to become more educated and more capable with firearms. And so you take the class and you will be armed with so much more knowledge than you were. But let's say you run into a situation where someday you're in a tight spot, there's a firearm there, and you think, ah, yes, I did take this class, I know what to do. And you pick it up and you shoot a gun for the first time because now you've learned how to shoot that gun. And it did not go at all like you thought it was going to go. Until you have fired a gun.
Right.
You do not know and you are not prepared.
100%. I have shot a firearm. I have been not trained. I was slightly trained. It was more a man crush that I had that I was like, sure, teach me. All the wrong reasons. Do not, because you have a man crush, go do this. Okay. And that is what I learned from that experience.
Valuable life lessons, right? Valuable lessons.
Now, go ahead.
Another one is that just getting a concealed carry permit allows you to get away with more than you normally would. Like, oh, I have a concealed carry permit. This makes me safer. This makes me more knowledgeable. And in fact, it doesn't. In the eye of the law, while I still fully endorse getting a concealed carry permit for the education itself, if you are in a situation where there is a shooting, you will be scrutinized a lot more closely because you are now expected to know more. You are expected to behave better. And that doesn't always make sense to some people. Wow, how am I going to be? I did the right thing. Yes, you did. And now you have to behave the right way.
Is that in the same way that, like, as a doctor in a situation mm-hmm. has to, that's their job. That's not just what they do. That is who they are. Is to offer that kind of aid. Is it the same kind of responsibility when you get that kind of thing that you need to carry yourself a certain way? You are now representing people who do this.
Yes, that is exactly right. That is exactly right. And I think that for our community, it's even more crucial because we're already being looked at as the crazies.
Right.
We've got the queer agenda and now they're armed. Oh my God.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you touched on this. What are some of the life-saving skills that you teach?
That in itself is life-saving. However, I believe that if you are going to have a gun, you need to be able to know how to treat someone who has been shot with a gun. And so our trauma first aid class, unlike your traditional first aid CPR Red Cross classes where you learn how to fix boo-boos, and you do learn CPR, which is a very important skill, this focuses on those first few moments after someone has been shot, injured terribly, where there's critical bleeding happening. And how do you stop that? A person can bleed out from an injury, an arterial wound, in 3 to 5 minutes. And that is not a lot of time. And so we teach skills like tourniquet application and wound packing and when to use these skills. It's a lot of the training that you would get in a stop the bleed class, plus a lot more. Again, stop the bleed class is great. It is fantastic. It is also free. It's about 2 hours. This class is 5 hours. So it covers that. You get hands-on practice, and it covers so much more. It does talk about broken bones. It talks a lot about how you can actually die from internal bleeding from broken femurs and pelvis injuries, and people don't necessarily know these things. And we're starting to expand that a little more to situations that might involve, protests and injuries that may occur there.
The reality of what we're living in now, children are being tear gassed. So how do you treat that?
Exactly. Exactly. And trying to dispel those myths. If you pour milk in their eyes, that's the best solution. No, it's not. Don't pour milk in someone's eyes. It is not sanitary in any way, shape, or form.
Pour milk in their eyes?
Oh. Yeah, there's that whole, because pepper spray is capsaicin, and it neutralizes the peppers. And so this myth got started that using milk to do that is a great way to go. And it's really not. And a lot of people still will suggest having a water mixture with something like Maalox. And I can't remember what the percentage is. I don't think it's quite 50-50, but a lot of people do that. And no, they did do it. Just use water. Just flush it out.
Right. It's like water is what they told us when I did take it. I was part of 1480, the radio station here, and we went and covered the protest out at Crawford, Texas, outside of Bush's encampment. We were not protesters, but we were with the protesters. And so we did get some basic education. So that's why when you said the milk thing, I'm like, milk? What? Why? Water. It's right
one
there.
One of those urban legends. Urban legends.
Oh my goodness. So if I see someone come to a protest with milk, I'm going to know why. And I'm going to say, I hope you're drinking that.
Yes.
Now, when you imagine a safer, more prepared LGBTQ plus community, what does that actually look like day to day?
To me, that looks like a community that is really focused on self-care as a community, as a whole, self-safety. It's shown that EMS response to, especially to transgender and non-binary folk, is not the same level of care that you would get for cisgender folk. There is mistreatment that happens there. We need to learn the skills to be our initial first responders and make sure that we get the critical care that happens before EMS even shows up, that keeps ourselves safe before law enforcement shows up. And I really think we need to work together to become more unified. It saddens me that there is still a divide even within our community. There shouldn't be. When it comes to the LGBTQ community, it should be all inclusive, right?
Agreed.
When it comes to these rights, because I hate saying things like it's us against them. And it is not because of us. It is unfortunately because of the rhetoric that is going on and things that are going on right now. And I hate that. And so we need to take that stance, and we need to put those things aside and say, look, we are all in this together. You know, that whole, when they came for someone, I didn't say anything. We need to all be the ones to say something
right
now.
We're a big proponent of, we know that there've been divides in the past, but now more than ever, we need to be staying on the same side of the line. That doesn't mean we need to stand side by side. There may be other groups in between us, but we need to be on the same side of the line at least. And we're not the ones that put the line there. Right. They're the ones that put the line there. They're the ones that put on an alternative halftime shirt. They're the ones doing, they're blaming us, but they're the ones doing all of this. We're the ones doing the status quo, the normal, it's weird for me to say I'm doing something normal, of watching the regular broadcast of the Super Bowl and its halftime show. We're not the ones trying to divide. We're the ones trying to hold it together. But what do we do when they're the ones wedging us? How do we protect ourselves? They're the ones making it us versus them. We're trying to just defend our community. We're trying to unite our community. That's why I say we got to be on that same line, same side of the line, at least.
100%. And I liken this to back when I was in the Marine Corps, right? You get all types, Okay, I'm not going to say all types. There's definitely a certain type. But with all those, with those personality types.
That was the best. That was seriously the best.
There are a lot of ego clashes that go on. And not everyone gets along, right? There are fights, there are arguments, whatnot. But ultimately, at the end of the day, when there is a mission, they all come together.
Right.
To accomplish that mission. And I have firsthand experienced it. When I was in, there was a guy that we did not get along at all. We were at each other all the time. But when push came to shove and we were out there and we went on this and I had a fever of 104 degrees and I was in a bad way, he was the one who was right there by my side helping me through it. And that's what we need to see as our community. We're not all going to get along. We're going to have our differences of opinion. But in this, we need to be there for one another.
Agreed. Here. Now, for someone listening right now who feels overwhelmed by the idea of preparedness, what's the first small step that they could take?
Oh, my gosh. Boy, you asked the question that keeps me up at night. Because it is very overwhelming. It is so overwhelming.
Yes.
And I wish I could say, hey, just come take my class. But you can't right now because it's all full. And I'm stressed out about that too. How do I reach more people? How do I reach more people? But it's having the conversations. And I am always willing to, as I grow, as I develop my courses and put information out there, I'm trying to put together information to share as I go along. So maybe you can't be in my class, but here's some places to get started. Here's some information to at least get you on that right track, because everything you look at is going to be a rabbit hole. Okay. And if it's firearms you're looking at, there are a few YouTube channels out there. Tactical Girlfriend is wonderful. She puts together some great stuff and it's very digestible. It's small pieces. You go there, you learn about it. It's fabulous. There are places like that. And it's just one step at a time. Don't take on too much. Right now, I've gotten lost in the rabbit hole of prepping and still trying to be a sane and sensible person about it. Oh, this is very easy to get overwhelmed and then you spiral and then nothing gets done. Okay? You pick a topic. If first aid is your topic, just go with that. If firearms is your topic, go with that. There are communities out there online. A lot of them, I'm gonna caution everyone that anything you say in this current climate online can in some way be used against you. So keep yourself safe by what you post out there, but you can definitely learn things that are out there. And you pick your topic and you start small. Just start small is my best guidance on that. It's a tough one.
Right. Understood. And I can attest to what you post on out there can be misinterpreted, can be twisted, can be misunderstood. For example, this is a comical example that I can give you. We had a friend of ours that we said, oh, we're going to kidnap him and take him to Palm Springs. And we did. And so we posted that we had kidnapped him and took him to Palm Springs. And there's a ton of smiles in all the photos. However, I was flagged for inappropriate behavior for kidnapping.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. Okay. And that was also the awakening that these corporations that own these media outlets, social media is still a media outlet, ladies and gentlemen, they don't care about you. They don't care about your message. They don't care about what it is you're really saying. They're just trying to protect their ass or shape their own message nowadays. The algorithm is not your friend.
It is not. It is not your friend. And that's where we're at. So again, more information. Again, we are always growing. We're trying to develop and we're trying to come up with the best ways to help the largest number of the community that we possibly can. We do this from the very get-go. I wanted to make sure that this training was free to the queer community, because I don't ever want money to come between someone learning life-saving skills.
This education is so important.
Yeah, this education. Yeah. Now, I don't see that ever changing. I don't ever want that to change. I always want it to be free.
And how does that get paid? Because obviously it's time, it's a place, it's This is information that needs to be handed down. So how does it get compensated? How does it get paid? Is it grants? Is it how? Help educate me on that.
Right now, it doesn't. It's me.
Okay.
we operate donation only. That, and people are good. People donate. Right now, it pretty much covers the expenses of the class, materials, things like that. I don't get paid for what I do. This is a passion for me, which is another reason it's going to be hard to find additional instructors, because you need to find people who also have that same passion and are willing to, at least for now, do it for free. What I would love to get a hold of a grant writer and hopefully fund us that way. And then down the road, ideally in a perfect world, I can quit my day job and do this for a living and teach every day of the week and reach the entire community, and we will all be safer together. But that is not an immediately realistic goal.
No, but you have to put it out there, and the demand is there. The need is there. Your classes are all booked up, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a matter of, okay, how do we get the right resources in the right place lined up to make it happen? So we're putting it out there, and hopefully someone listening, maybe they can even help. You never know. How can listeners learn more about your work or your upcoming trainings once they become available, or if there's ways for them to donate for the SEIS guidance?
Yes. So our website has a lot of the information about the classes themselves. It does talk about the curriculum of each of the classes. There is a class calendar page that lists all of the upcoming classes. There is a donate page, which it does need to be updated, but currently we've got our Zelle information, Zephy information, PayPal information. I will be adding the Cash App and Cash App and Venmo to that. So that information is currently there. Now that you can also sign up for our email list. And that is what I really hope to kick into action soon, where there will be more periodic updates to that and more information that we can send out that way. It may be repetitive for some folks who have taken the class, but it may be new and useful information for those who haven't. And it's where I hope to send information that will be supplemental to what people have learned in classes. We can share other content from YouTube videos. I sift through a lot of these so that other people don't have to, much like I have sat through a lot of terrible instructors so that other people don't have to.
And what is the website again?
I'm not a terrible instructor. I'm better.
And what's the website again?
SEISguidance.org.
And do you have a resource section on there for people that want to find some of those YouTubers or the places that you would mention?
Right now, it is just the email list. They can sign up for the email list. We have this gigantic list of improvements and additions and information we want to add. Unfortunately, we're still very small, but we are working our best to add more all the time. But my recommendation is, at least for now, to join the email list. And that way, when these updates get made, we can make sure that everyone is aware of what's going on.
Excellent. Let's see if we can help you with your website and maybe some of the additional assistance that you need, because that's what we do on the side as well. So we'll talk about that offline.
Oh, that's amazing.
All right. And what are your social medias? How can people follow you and find you online, Jonathan?
We do have Facebook, which is SEIS Guidance, and Instagram, also SEIS Guidance.
Awesome. Thank you for joining me today. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry, I was going to say we don't currently have Blue Sky or anything like that, but those are the main two. I'd love to get something off of the Meta platform.
Understood.
It's just a matter of time.
Again, maybe we can help with some of that too. We'll talk offline. Jonathan, thank you so very much for joining us today. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this. I know you got a lot going on with all the trainings and everything, so thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Another reason we love this community.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma. And I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about
anal pap exams. Let's talk anal cancer. Early detection saves lives. Anal pap smears are a simple screening tool that can find abnormal cells before they become cancer. Gay men and trans women are at a higher risk for anal cancer, especially people living with HIV. HIV can make it harder for the body to clear HPV, the virus that causes most anal cancers, which means regular screening is even that much more important for many of us. An anal pap smear is quick, usually painless, especially if you relax, and can be life-saving. Talk to your healthcare provider about whether an anal cancer screening is right for you. Taking care of your sexual health is an act of self-respect and self-love.
Pride lives here.
All right, Phoenix, before we wrap, we want to thank Jonathan from SEI Guidance for a thoughtful, grounded conversation. These are the kinds of discussions that matter, not because they scare us, but because they equip us. On a personal note, I want to say thank you to the staff at Desert Regional Medical Center in Palm Springs. I spent nearly 30 hours boarded in the ER before being admitted, dealing with Shigella, strep, dehydration, and the whole glamorous tour. The nurses, doctors, and support staff showed up with patience and professionalism in a system that is clearly stretched thin. They carry stress that wasn't theirs. They absorbed fears that weren't theirs, and they kept moving. I walked out healthier because of them, and I don't take that lightly. To everyone who checked in while I was down, thank you. Community isn't just something that we talk about here. It's something that we practice. And to you, yes, you, thank you for listening all the way through. That tells us that you care. And we don't take that lightly either. Remember, Gay PHX isn't just a podcast. We're streaming 24/7 with music, interviews, and voices from across our community. You never know what conversation might air before it hits the feed. And if you're hosting something, performing, spinning karaoke, throwing a fundraiser, or building something that people should know about, submit it to gayphx.com. Brian works hard to keep the calendar full, but we do this together. Community isn't a vibe. It's a responsibility, and we choose each other. We love you, Phoenix. We'll see you next week.
We're together. The sun is bright, and there's nowhere better than by your side.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.